Coming up on TMS, injured in an accident? Call the law offices of Carbuncle, Pedestal, and Dolman.
The goddamn butterfly.
Pounding that caffeine.
My heart's alone.
Love, death, and Groot.
Crisis on Infinite movie situations.
Losing the third elephant of the apocalypse.
Sorry, Mario, but your cat is in another airport.
Pour it. Ready for another.
Coffee. It's what's for dinner.
You didn't name a song, you named a video.
Holiday Swingers Express.
Turn your pineapple upside down right now.
Tell me more, did it poop on your head?
Melts my cheese just nicely.
DC separates their shit with Steven and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
The whole time I was watching my carpet, I was worrying that I might vomit.
She's only your girl because she ain't had a taste of the Duke yet. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning and welcome to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Monday, August 1st, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi.
Hi, Scott.
Hi.
Hey, man. New month. How you feeling on a new month? Excited?
Brand new month, and I'm checking my coffee here is not, it doesn't appear to be heating. We're, in my amber mug. It is cooling off, and I'm not happy about it.
Uh-oh.
So I'm logging into the app, or I'm going into the app, and I'm realizing, crap, I have to log into the app to heat my coffee. What's wrong with this world, Scott?
That's pretty effed up. Was that always true? You had to heat it up, or to heat it up, you had to log in?
No, I thought the app and the base were completely independent. The app just reports and says, all right, your prime temperature of 135 degrees has been achieved. Enjoy your coffee.
Yeah, I would have thought that too.
I think, and maybe it is, and maybe it's just...
wouldn't it be sad if it like died today and it's like out of warranty and stuff? You'd be just
it'd be very sad.
I have to go get
another
one.
I don't know if I'd replace it. I love it, but I don't know... God, I do like...
How convenient has it gotten for you? That's the question, right?
Yeah, it's gotten very convenient. You know, I mean, I do have my giant carafe, which I'll probably, you know, as usual, finish, which I'm sure all that caffeine's real good for me.
It must be. It has to be over time, just pounding yourself with caffeine.
Just so good, yeah.
Must be.
And but when I pour that into the thing, that's still piping hot. That is still steam rising from the coffee, piping hot.
Because it's insulated and does a good job at what it.
My problem is that I just don't drink coffee fast enough, and so it cools off too quickly.
Right.
I mean, there are people who are like, pour it, ready for another. Pour it, ready for another. You know, they're like the coffee achievers. They're the coffee generation that Jeff Lynne was singing about in the 80s.
Yeah. What was the best part of waking up for those?
Hold
folks?
On tight to your dreams.
That's right. They know.
Remember
they know
the coffee?
What's up.
What was that advertising? It was the Coffee Achievers.
So best part of waking up was...
That's a different thing. That's a different thing.
Yeah,
that's
a whole different thing. Yeah. I'm trying to think just the different ones. What would it advertise?
I found the commercial if you want...
put it in the Discord. I'll play it.
All right. Okay.
Let's see if we can't suss this out.
In the Discord, and we'll get a little Jeff Lynne music, so prepare that cease and desist.
Sweet. That'll be good. Actually, here, I'll pause you.
Heart too. Mixes a new record.
Fantastic. Why is this? Oh, here we go. Okay, I got to turn it off.
You are the new coffee generation.
Because coffee is the calm moment that lets you think. Coffee gives you the time to dream it and the vitality to do it.
Heart sitting there going, Barracuda, getting ready to do Barracuda.
No other drink does that like coffee.
Oh, it's just the National Coffee Association.
The National Coffee Association. Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Okay, like beef when they do, or the other white meat or all that stuff. Beef, it's what's for dinner and all that.
Interesting.
Yep. Big coffee.
Oh, there's a second one with David Bowie and...
was their deal with musicians? They were trying to get the youth in there?
I think so, yeah, exactly. Hey, kids, Heart likes coffee.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, Heart. Heart is cool. Barracuda. Well, anyway. So there you have
it. Quick, name another Heart song. Quick.
Hold on. The one where she's they keep cutting away from the one because the video people didn't think she was pretty enough anymore. So they kept showing the redhead. And yeah, she's going,
I know exactly which one I think you're talking about. Alone.
Alone. That's it.
How can I get you alone?
Yeah.
That, you still technically didn't name a song. You named a video and a.
Yeah, I didn't quite. I didn't quite get there, but I gotta say, like, I think I like early, more rock and roll.
For sure, yeah, like Magic Man and Little Queen, Goddamn Butterfly. I mean, Diane Butterfly.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one.
That's always singing. See the goddamn butterfly up in the air. He
that's
likes
a good
to
one.
Fly.
Good misheard lyric to use, even
goddamn
if you know
butterfly.
It. Those were great, and when they went like they went like Starship in the '80s a little bit. You know?
Yeah, they did. They did. With especially that All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You song. Was that Hearts Jumping the Shark moment?
A little bit. Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah. And then when they kept just videoing the pretty one, I went, all right, I'm out. I'm done.
Nancy. Yeah.
Nancy. All right, check this out. I got a little Loki update for you.
Oh, excellent.
I'm almost done. I got one left. And
ooh, look at you.
That show's great. I really like it.
That is.
I think.
How much of a crush do you have on Sylvie Loki?
A massive crush. At first, I hated her because I was pissed at her because I thought she was just evil. Yeah. But that's all, you know, it's all relative until you learn what's going on. Mm-hmm. I like the big shift in. I don't want to give anything away, but the whole what do they call?
Believe me, you're the last one in the tadpole to watch it.
The whole.
You're not giving anything away.
The whole variant storyline about who might be one or not, that got real interesting. I think it's awesome. Yeah. I really dig it. So
yeah, how do you like the appearance of Richard E. Grant as like straight up comic book Loki?
Oh yeah, no, he's great. He's like I guess I had no expectation for that. And the first time you see him is in I think it's episode 4 or 5 stinger.
The end scene, right, the stinger. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they give him a quick credit after it happens.
Yes.
So I was like, "Oh, Richard E. Grant, what are you doing, Mr. Oscar winner? What are you doing over here in this Loki business?" But it's very cool. So anyway, I'll finish it up, give you a final vibe on it and probably tomorrow. Cool. Probably get it today.
Yeah. Oh, so much great setup for what's to come with phases. I believe what's to come with phases 5 and 6. What happens in that last episode you're about to watch?
Oh, I'm glad to hear that because that makes me more excited about those phases than I probably was. So that's good. I think it's really good. I think the music and the sets and the look of it and the tone of it is really the big surprise for me, and I really really like that stuff. So whoever made those choices, they were the right ones, and I love the vibe. It's very very good.
Cool. Yeah, we're just like a week and a half from the next one with the She-Hulk. And I Am Groot, which is a bunch of shorts. It's basically Love, Death, and Groot.
Yeah, Love, Death, and Groot. It'll probably be a little like the more Disney-ified, like the Big Hero 6
it'll
ones.
Yeah, it'll be Pixar, like stuff you'd see.
Yeah, the Big Hero 6 one is really good, by the way. You should watch that. It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's what I hear, the Baymax show.
Carter,
I hear that's really good.
Carter was raving about it. I watched the first one. She's right. It's great. It's very good. But,
Just all of a sudden made me think, oh my God, how cool would it be if Marvel started doing Marvel character Pixar shorts, style Pixar shorts before each movie. So like you get, you know, like fun characters like Squirrel Girl and MODOK and Impossible Man, which would be perfect for that sort of thing.
Yeah, not necessarily for some big live action treatment. So instead make them little pre-movie shorts. I'd love that.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Marvel, if you're listening, hey, Kevin Feige, if you take off your hat and put this in it.
That's right. Oh, and I watched The Batman. I forgot to mention.
Oh, The Batman.
Batman, which I hadn't seen yet. And I really liked
Pattinson.
I liked The Batman a lot.
Yeah.
I know that it's a, you know, there's some people that are kind of split on it, but it is right up my alley. Melts my cheese just nicely.
Too. Yeah. I wish it, I mean, I kind of wish it weren't a brand new side thing that has no connection to any other DC thing. Like, you know, you kind of want Joker to appear in this one. Joker from the Joker Oscar winning movie last year.
Oh, like that Joker. Yeah.
That Joker.
Yeah, they keep them all in like separate Earth things almost. Yes. Like it's like,
I know we're coming up to a Crisis on Infinite movies situation with DC.
Yeah. DC's got this idea that, hey, Marvel's over there doing a lot of continuity. What if we just did separate shit all the time? I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work for them in the long haul, but as a standalone detective-based Batman. Freaking badass. I loved it. That scene where he chases down Joker in the Batmobile, which is more like the Charger I wanted when I was a teenager. What an amazing chase scene. Holy shit. Just incredible. I really, really, really liked it. So, and some people, it's so long, though. It's 3 hours. F off. It's fine.
Yeah,
fine.
That's right. Because you got a bunch of, you got a whole crap ton of villains you got to deal with. You got Catwoman. You got Joker, or not Joker. You got Penguin. You got Riddler.
Yeah, well, you have Joker in the at the very end. But,
yeah,
and that's some dude no one's heard of, some actor, Irish actor that I'm super. What's the word? I'm intrigued about what they're going to do there. Oh, and Paul Dano's a psycho, dude. That guy freaked me the F out. Man.
He's awesome.
He scares me. Awesome. He finally drank his milkshake and became one of the weirdest dudes in Hollywood. So weird. And he's writing DC books right now. I didn't know this. He's like,
is he really? Paul Dano is?
Yeah, he's wrote a, I think he wrote a whole multi-issue thing for some Riddler storyline. And he's like into it. He's a comic nerd.
That's so cool.
Went to Comic-Con this year, not as the Riddler, but as a writer at DC. It was crazy. Anyway, that guy's weird. Gives me the creeps. And that's the most insane Riddler take I've ever heard of in my life. I've never even, like, I don't even know what to make of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I really loved it.
Freaking, much, much darker Riddler.
More Matt Reeves movies is what I'm getting at. Let's get those going. Yeah. All right. Real quick, got an email from Hank. Hank wrote in. Yeah, Hank.
Send and receive email.
He said, not enough talk about propane. No, he didn't say that. It's about swinging signs or signs that you're a swinger. It says, hello, Scotch and bourbon.
Like the ones that in the wind.
Yeah, the one, you know, barber open, you know, those things. Yeah,
those swinging signs.
Yeah. Those are the ones with a big pineapple on it and a black rubber ring on your neckhand. Anyway, it says, I was listening to episode 2323 where you discussed Brian lifting a couple of swingers to a swingers club. I wanted to politely correct you on two things. We have an expert in the room here. Here we
go. Okay, good.
My wife and I are swingers. I don't know why I'm reading it this way. Sorry. I'm not trying to make it weird.
You made it weird.
I did. It says, although she identifies more as polyamorous, we don't do clubs, hotel takeovers, and the like. We are very picky about who we play with, is the term he used.
Hold on. Before you even get to the next sentence.
Yeah.
Clubs, I understand, right?
Yeah.
Hotel takeovers. Oh
yeah,
my
what
gosh.
Is that what? Exactly? I want to know more.
You could be staying at a freaking Holiday Inn Express and all of a sudden get roped into some mayhem
that's what
on.
I want to know. You're just out at the pool. You're just on a layover till you get to Kansas for the convention. Suddenly the whole place goes like crazy. Right. What do you do?
What is it's looking like that scene from Secret of My Success where everybody's going to everybody else's room. What's going on here?
Yeah,
why am I hearing yellow music?
It's very weird. I love that. That'd be a great soundtrack. That
beer boat.
Oh yeah.
Says yes, pineapples and black rings are symbols of swingers. However, there are some specifics to it. The upside down pineapple. That sounds like one of those Brazilian meat places where is the I don't want any more.
Kind of is.
It says an upside down pineapple is a symbol for swingers. If you see an upside down pineapple flag or maybe upside down pineapple decor on a porch or around the house, a stranger lives there or a swinger lives there. Not a stranger. Jeez.
Stranger comes calling.
Yep. Right side up pineapple or just right side up pineapples. So that's an interesting thing.
Okay. That just means you're Hawaiian or you like that pizza.
Sure. You're just a fan of the pineapple, I guess.
Sure.
With regards to black rings, the black ring on the right ring finger is a sign of a swinger. Black rings on the left hand are where most people wearing their wedding rings are totally normal and not symbolic of anything. So, Brian, you're safe. You're good.
Good.
Overall, I've made some amazing friends in the lifestyle. Many I think will be lifelong friends even after we leave the lifestyle. Most swingers are good, normal people. Many don't go around talking about it since the topic is mostly taboo. So we are people you'd never expect. Your friends, neighbors, maybe even your parents. Don't say things like that. We come in all shapes and sizes. Yes, Brian, even people shaped like you and I. I Thanks. Don't know what he's saying there.
Thanks
about
a lot. Thank you.
You and Hank.
Thanks,
I love that. Just a swinger education from someone who relatively new to it. Thanks for the great show, Hank. Well, Hank, I appreciate the insider info, because how would we know? I don't know.
Man, so now I'm really curious. So relatively new to it. I'm curious as to how you adapted, like how, you know, those first experiences and stuff like that, without any graphic detail. I mean, I'd love to hear
yeah,
more.
Just the emotional, that's fascinating to me. Like how do you, I mean, obviously you have to have an inclination to,
for sure,
to do it,
yes,
but then once you do, you know, there's naturally the natural feelings of either things like jealousy or things like, I don't know.
Right. FOMO.
Just, yeah, or all that. Like, well, those things come up. What do you do then?
Yeah. Right.
And since I'm a person that rarely has FOMO, I wonder how I'd care about any of this. I'd probably be like, man, whatever, go ahead. I'll be fine. I'll stay home, play a video game. I don't need to.
Go knock yourself out.
Knock yourself out, Cam. Do what you got to do. All right. Let's now lean a very different direction. That is the direction of the American South, and adding Brian Dunaway to the call so that we can play a game. This will be fun. I always look forward to it. He's already logged in. Here is the theme. I let that play a little longer because normally he answers by now, but he's not answering yet. So we'll just keep doing this. Oh, now he is. Hey, Brian Dunaway, welcome to the show. What are you doing?
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. How are you guys?
Good, man. How are you?
We're good.
I'm doing good. It's nice and sunny outside, and I'm inside, so that's a bonus.
We got a lot of cloud cover and some rain coming today, so we are different than you today.
It's hot out there.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on the radio show.
Yeah.
Here. Be sure to stay cool. It's hot out there today.
That's right. Keep
another one from Laura Branigan.
You'd be a fun eye in the sky kind of guy, Brian. You could be that.
Yeah. Look, I've thought about it many times. Like, yeah, you know what? If this fails, you know what I'm doing now, maybe I'll just go do some local radio stuff. Yeah, why not?
I-15 in a twist, 14 car pileup. Anyway, back to you. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway,
delays over on the 405. Those are going to keep you about 20 minutes to the city. But if it's all clear on the 18, if you want to head that way.
Oh, good news, by the way. So that kid I told you about that got hit by the car out by us, just on the street just next to us.
Day, yeah.
He's fine.
Yeah.
He's good.
Good. Yeah. Wow.
Jeez. Oh well. Good. I just went through a roller coaster of emotions. I'm like, oh no, I haven't heard about this. Oh well, good. He's okay.
It was a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. Oh, he's okay. Good.
It was a couple of weeks ago, but I hadn't heard. There was like no word on how it went or if the kid was okay. And I just kept digging around, and finally somebody's like, oh yeah, I know the family. He had a rough week, but he's fine now. So.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah. You think it'll be a rough week after getting hit by a car? Anyway, hey, Brian, we're going to play a game, and Brian Ibbida here has the rules and the tricks and the other word I can't think of, so Brian.
The treaties?
The treaties. Flex. Brian, tell us all about the treaties. What are we signing here today?
Welcome to the Morning Half Asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you guys the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct and three of which are incorrect. Depending on how confident you feel with your category, you can provide one, two, or three guesses. If you get any of those wrong, you get 0 points for that round. Guess one, get it right, just like that. That's the sound. Guess one to get it right, you get a point. Guess two and get them right, get 3 points. Guess all three correctly, you will get 5 points for that round. The player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant. And I've pulled a couple contestants from members of the Tadpool that ain't here live. That can't call us on the old Skype or Discord or whatever we do with that sort of thing.
whatever
the hell it is we use.
Yeah.
Scott, you're going to be playing for Rich from Ithaca, New York.
Nice.
And Brian, you're going to be playing for Samantha from Hermitage. You say Hermitage. I say Hermitage. Hermitage, Pennsylvania. Samantha.
I've been through Hermitage.
Have you?
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Hermitage like? Is it cool? Is it
it's just like every other place in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
You got a lot of Amish out there eating Mike.
Not really. I guess there's a few.
Getting ice cream shoved in their face by some jerk. Some local jerk.
Yeah, some jerk.
Yeah, and then Harrison Ford punches him while he's dressed as a... Oh, man, that movie.
Wow.
Witness me.
Yeah, that's witness
right.
me.
All right, anyway, here, let's give you guys your first category and your answers to choose from. First question is American versions of a foreign TV show. So these are American TV shows that were adapted from foreign TV shows. Your choices are Seinfeld, The Office, Homeland, The Dating Game, Sanford and Son, and Ally McBeal. I'll put them here in front of you.
Oh,
Seinfeld, The Office, Homeland, The Dating Game, Sanford and Son, Ally McBeal.
Three of these, huh?
Three of these are adapted from foreign TV shows. Which are they?
I got one more, but I'm not sure.
I know two
I'm
for
going
sure.
for it. No, I'm not locking in my answers.
Okay. All right. Scott's locked in with three. Brian is locked in with two. You both, of course, honed in on the obvious one, which is The Office, of course, adapted from the British Office. You actually both said The Dating Game.
Oh, and, look at us.
And Scott, you added Ally McBeal. You were both were right with The Office. However, Sanford and Son is actually adapted from
you have
from
failed
UK
a
show
thing.
Called Steptoe and Son.
Really?
Yes.
Wait, I didn't know that.
I'm sorry. Where? What country of origin?
UK. Steptoe and Son. And Homeland is adapted from a show called Hatufon. I can't read that because it's too tiny. From Israel.
Okay.
No, I was hoping you'd throw up the Three's Company thing too. Isn't that also a UK show?
It is.
Originally?
Yeah, it's from Man of the House. I think
Man of the House. That was, that's right. That's it. Isn't that it?
That was it. Yeah. Man of the House. Yeah. Okay. I know that. There was one for All in the Family too. That I know that was.
Yeah.
Steptoe and Son ran from 62 to 74, and I've never even heard of it.
I bet their theme song wasn't nearly as kick-ass.
It was doot-doot-doot-doot-doot.
Exactly. Definitely wasn't Street Beat by Quincy, or Street Beater by Quincy Jones.
No. Yeah. It's a great show, though. Sanford and Son, that is. I don't know. Steptoe and Son, I can't speak to. Never saw it.
Yeah, Steptoe and Son. All right, let's get to, you guys still 0 points. Let's get to question number two. Prince's backing band. So the Half-Blood artist, formerly known as Prince, had several different backing bands. What were they? Your choices are The Revolution, The Family, The Time, Shockadelic, Third Eye Girl, and The New Power Generation.
I feel pretty solid about two, but...
I'm going two.
Locked in!
You're both locked in. Of course, the obvious one, again, you both got, which is The Revolution.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Scott said The Time. Brian said The New Power Generation. We're going to dole out some points here.
Ooh.
Because, The Revolution and The New Power Generation were both Prince's backing bands.
Damn it.
The Time was Morris Day's backing band.
Right.
Kind of in the movie, it's the he's the adversary to Prince. Third Eye Girl is the other Prince
I don't remember that
band.
One. Are you sure it's not...
That was the newest one.
Red, red.
Which
what?
Three or Die Girl.
Third Die Girl. So wait, who was the girl that was famously
Apollonia?
Yeah.
Apollonia 6?
Yeah. What was her deal? Where was she?
She was a member of. Actually, she wasn't even a member of the Revolution. She was just another performer that Prince.
Right.
Protege, kind of like Wendy and Lisa, right. And there were a couple.
Did you guys used to go to the whenever the Prince would come around? He was always touring. Did you guys ever?
I never
get
saw
to see
Prince
the Prince
show.
Back in the
never,
day.
I never got to see Prince.
Aww.
That's one. I got to see the Purple Rain tribute show in Vegas, which is excellent.
That's almost the same.
That sounds awesome.
It's like barely. It's very good, but it ain't the same. It's not like seeing the real Prince. But what's funny about that is that the actor who plays Prince and who does an incredible job of playing Prince disappears 3/4 or 2/3 of the way through the show and then comes back as Morris Day and fights Prince off stage and then comes out and does, of course, the
I thought he was gonna come back as the Batman.
Yeah.
And the Batman.
Great.
Yeah. I thought I could have sworn Morris Day and the Time were part of I don't know why I thought that. I feel dumb now for not getting that right. One other thing about Prince. Do you have a favorite all-time Prince song? Like, if you had to pick one, what would you say?
I have the one that's in my head that I can't never stop singing.
What is it?
The one, I don't know if it's my favorite or not, Alphabet Street.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It gets in my head and I can't not sing
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Sometimes it snows in April, I really like.
Alphabet Street.
That's a good song.
Oh, no. You know what it is? I'll tell you exactly what it is. Hands down, Beautiful. What is it? Not Beautiful Ones. Is it Beautiful Ones? Shit. What's it called?
I don't know.
It's my favorite damn Prince song. My favorite damn Prince song, and I can't remember the damn name of it because I keep thinking of the Suede song that's got a similar name.
And Brian Dunaway singing Little Red Corvette's not helping you probably to remember.
Yeah.
I think it's just called Beautiful One.
What's the one where he gets up? Because I think my favorite's the one where he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, we are gathered here today."
Oh yeah, let's go crazy.
I love let's go crazy.
That's great.
Yeah.
So what,
what's that? What's that one that where he's a bald lady and he gets on Saturday Night Live and it tears the picture of the Pope? No, that's not.
That's not him.
He just wrote that.
And he
one.
Wrote the song. Yeah.
And that, you know, the family that was listed in this round was another Prince protege band, and that's actually who he wrote that song for to perform. Nothing Compares to You was the family, and then they recorded. It was like meh. Didn't do very well. Great. And then Sinead O'Connor recorded her version, did a lot better.
That's what you told me. All right. Anyway,
one is the one that's got halfway through the song, it cuts to him and he goes, "Do you want him or do you want me? Because I want you." It's such a great, it is the best part of any great Prince song.
Did we ever learn who Nikki was in the hotel lobby doing this stuff at the magazine? Did we ever learn who that was supposed to be?
Yeah, it was Nikki Bloom.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was she really doing that? Was that really a thing?
Yeah, that's what she was doing.
That's really what was happening,
okay. Was it a People magazine?
The magazine.
That was always my question. Because it says, with a magazine. Was she using the magazine? Or was she just holding the magazine while she was doing it?
I don't know, but
we'll never get the answer. Sadly, with Prince's passing,
I feel like everyone needs to turn their pineapple upside down right now.
Was it a hotel lobby that was a swingers takeover? Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
Anyway, let's get to your last one. Brian's got 3 points. He's in the lead, so you're really going to have to step up your game, Scott.
All right.
Parts of a flower. Your choices are the receptacle, the pedestal, the dolmen, the carbuncle, the stigma, and the ovary.
It's a carbuncle, really?
I don't know, but I don't care. Oh shoot! Wait,
the receptacle, the pedestal, the dolmen, the carbuncle, the stigma, and the ovary.
Oh shit! I need to get all three of these to win, don't I?
You need to get all three of these to win. Yes.
Or if I goof. Because I just went all in, baby. I took all my chips and rolled the dice.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I know one. I don't know the rest.
Okay. All right. And you both have locked in.
And I think I see where I messed up. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So I'm going to tell you, Scott, that your three choices
are all wrong.
Wrong. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The actual answers are the receptacle, the stigma, and the ovary. Scott, you chose pedestal, dolmen, and carbuncle, which I think are all parts of a wrestling mat.
Yeah, they sound like I want to see the touring comedy stylings of pedestal, dolmen, and carbuncle.
Once I saw pedestal, I read that wrong. I just was clicking on it. Pedestal.
Is the carbuncle like the thing? It's probably not. And somebody who knows wrestling far better than me. Carbuncle is. Isn't that the corners where they punched his head into the carbuncle?
Oh, yeah, that sounds right.
Right. I think you're right. But it's also a cluster of boils, it says here, caused by a bacterial infection. Yeah, so if you have a bacterial infection that creates a cluster of boils on your back, that is a carbuncle as well.
On your back? Oh my god. That sounds like one of those 70s.
Thank you, JC Calhoun. Yes.
Turnbuckle.
Oh, turnbuckle, not carbuncle.
You had me along for your ride, though. I was buying it.
Clearly, this is proof that I don't watch wrestling.
We're often the corner of wrestling. We're never accused of being wrestling fans. Maybe you've done away a little bit, but now we know for sure.
Yeah. I have a little bit of love for the wrestling. I love that Ric Flair was he talking about the other day? But he was talking about he needs to be drunk to wrestle now or something like that. He's always
dead.
Needed to be.
Isn't he dead? I thought he's dead.
No. Yeah, he's dead. Now he's drunk in his in his grave.
I don't know why I thought he was dead. I don't know. I mean,
you think everybody's dead, Scott?
No, they just, these wrestlers, they don't live long, man. They get the thing and they go, oh yeah, and then they die.
You do if you got flair.
I guess Ric Flair will never die. Yeah, you're right.
It's true. Well, congratulations going out to Samantha from Hermitage, PA. You're getting a copy of Nowhere Prophet and Blue Fire.
Oh, I forgot to mention how good Nowhere Prophet is. That is a fantastic video game.
Well, we hadn't even talked about the prize yet, so there would have been no reason for you to bring that up.
Oh, well, there you go then.
But don't worry, Rich from Ithaca, you're getting a copy of Planet Coaster, which
also
feels like
awesome.
Like I'm combining two 80s cartoons into one Steam game.
Yeah, it's very good. Planet Coaster is basically a giant roller coaster sim where you can build your giant theme park and go nuts with it. There's a creative mode. There's like loop-de-loops, and it's super realistic looking. It's a very cool game. The people that make those new Jurassic Park sim things on PC, they made it. That's those guys. They're very good. They make Planet Zoo as well. I know too much about this, I've learned.
Yeah.
No, you know just right.
Yeah.
I know just enough. Hey, Dunaway, this has been a good time as always. And, of course, good times will be had tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 Mountain Time when Brian and I, that is to say Dunaway and I, will be doing a entire Play Retro show about the Strike series of games back in the day. I didn't even know there was a PlayStation game. I will be playing that later to see how it is. But the Genesis and Super Nintendo had these games.
Yeah.
They were Desert Strike, Jungle Strike, Urban Strike, and Nuclear Strike.
Oh, you forgot Soviet Strike.
Oh, Soviet Strike
and Nuclear Strike. Those are both on the PlayStation era 32-bit consoles.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't bother with the N64 version. It looks like crap.
It's garbage. That's not a good game. But those early 16-bit versions, man, those were awesome. Incredible series. So much fun. Kind of sparked my, even to this day, love of like mission-based kind of go at it
because everything was linear.
Yeah.
We were playing a lot of linear games, and this was open world, but in order to progress you had to do the missions.
Yeah, you had to do the missions, and the missions were hard. This is not an easy game, but they were great.
No.
Some of EA's best work of that era. And they all look dumb in their big, tall cartridge on the Genesis. So we'll talk about that some as well.
with the yellow tab.
Yep. Real dumb.
What's
real
that
dumb.
Yellow tab do?
That yellow tab turns out it does nothing.
I always thought, you know, carts of that era, 16-bit, a lot of them still had batteries and stuff to, you know, game saves on the cart. And I always thought that EA just had been super cool. It's like, hey, here's the easy way to pull the battery in and out.
Nope.
Wrong.
Nope. It's just there for looks, and they also, the reason that they got their way and got to make their weird cartridge is a long, ugly story about who is going to pay who, and if they could get a better deal on platform fees versus Nintendo. It's a big, ugly, we'll talk about it tomorrow. I don't think it's worth the whole show,
but
we definitely
got
to
talk about it. And we need to talk about that, and we need to talk about EA's love for the 3DO that failed, and then they said, hey, we know we'll ship it over to the PS1 then.
Yeah, we'll go PlayStation. We'll do PlayStation.
We'll go PlayStation.
Anyway, that's tomorrow, 3:30 Mountain Time, for the live show here at frogpants.tv, or you can get it on the podcast feed wherever you get your podcast. That's Play Retro. Brian Dunaway, have a fantastic day.
No, you.
Kiss our butts.
Nope.
He says no on his way out. All right, we have 10 minutes. That means we're going to catch people up on what happened around the world while they were gone.
Oh, it's good. Yes, the important part.
Yeah,
while
they slept. Brian, it's the news, and it's brought to us by
the bird that pooped on Scott's head last night. Thanks, bird.
Yep. So last night, sitting outside on the porch, beautiful out, nice and cool but warm, you know, perfect sun, summer night, just chilling, checking my phone, looking at the stars, and a bird took a shit on my head.
Did you say there was a small bird, or I guess the question is, was it a small poo or a large poo?
It was a large-ish poo, but the bird itself was probably pigeons. In fact, it probably was a dove, which I think pigeons are just doves, right?
Great. Yeah, dove. They're just, you know, albino doves are all the pigeons are.
Yeah, so it was gross, and it's because we have all this tree growth over there, and I just, you know, it's there. They were here before us, and I understand.
Yeah, and it's their tree, really. I mean, you know, you just happen to be in their way, and
it's their world. I'm just living in it.
They don't have toilets that they can use. The world is their toilet.
Yeah, thanks, bird. Anyway, here's your stories. We got an elephant named Ruana. who is the third elephant to die from herpes in the Zurich Zoo, Zurich, Germany.
Elephant herpes. Oh, my God. Forget monkeypox. We have elephant herpes.
We do. It's pretty gnarly. Another elephant has died from in the Zurich Zoo from herpes infection, from the herpes virus, Park said on Saturday. The third to die there from the condition since the end of June. The five-year-old elephant cow died on Saturday morning after succumbing to elephant endo... This is hilarious. Endo the... Leotropic.
Endotheliotropic.
Yeah. But what I love it is I love the end the O Leo. The th- it's got end O the in it. So it's right. Like end of the line.
The Leotropic.
Yeah. I think that's great. The condition carried latently by nearly all elephants. Her death follows that of Amisha, an 8-year-old female who died on July 11th, and the 2-year-old male Umesh, who passed away at the end of June. They were given all the antiviral drugs to protect her and showed no signs of illness until Friday. Losing a third elephant to this dreaded virus is such a short time as a tragic loss for the Zurich Zoo, yeah? Says Severin Dresden. Today is a deeply sad day, he says, and particularly frustrating that we are powerless against the virus despite best veterinary care from the University Animal Hospital. So if you were thinking about animals today and you were worried about elephants...
Well, your worry was justified.
Yeah, clearly. you were correct to worry, I guess.
Here's the thing that surprised me, that condition is carried latently by nearly all elephants. Like, oh yeah, we all have herpes.
So it's just in there, it's just got to be triggered or something, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dang.
Some of these weird, but like the whole shingles thing or I guess AIDS is this, or HIV. Like the ones that can just sort of sit there for a long time.
Dormant.
And then go, aha, it's been 30 years. The least you expect is to have shingles today. Blah, 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 blah. And then you just suddenly have shingles. Like, that freaking sucks, man. I like viruses that come. You're feeling a little down on a Tuesday.
And then they're gone.
And then they're gone by Friday. And you're like, man, that was not that bad. That's the kind I like. Mm-hmm. Even COVID knows when to get in and get out.
Right. Know? Exactly.
All right.
Still, and by the way, did the whole Vegas thing, still feeling fine.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask. No
smell,
signs?
Taste, no sore throat, no...
No weirdness.
No weirdness.
I think you probably dodged it. I don't know why I feel that way. I just do. So. I don't have anything to base that on except that you maybe
dodged it. No, I don't either.
It.
Exactly. I'm hoping. I mean, you know, knock on cheap plastic prop replicas of Marvel items.
It's what you have handy. I mean, I understand.
Yeah, whatever. It's the only thing. It's what my office is made of.
Yeah. Scott. Me, you, and like five other people, and I guess our wives, are the only people left.
Yeah, not both of our wives, Scott.
Oh, that's right. Tina had it. I forgot.
Tina had it, yeah.
How did you dodge that?
I don't know.
That's so weird to me.
I don't know, because we were still messing around when she had it before she knew she had it.
Yep. Pedro was still taking that trip to Virginia. Jeez. Yeah. I meant Virginia, not Virginia. I
don't know. Well, technically, you meant Virginia.
he could be a carrier. I may have had it and never known. Like, this is possible. Mm-hmm. I wish there was a way to tell so I could quit thinking about it, you know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's certainly possible, right? And be completely asymptomatic. Yeah. Easily could have been the case.
Oh, yeah. Lots of people.
They need, we've got our, you know, the on-go tests or the whatever, the test you can take at home. I'd love to do one of those lab tests to see if I have the antibodies from getting it in my system.
Yeah.
If there's a way to do that.
There is. I mean, I think an antibody test would do it, but I don't think anyone gives those freely,
just willy-nilly. Right, exactly. Yeah, like, here this is just a recreational test you're taking.
Yeah. Well, all I know is that shingles thing knocked me out and the COVID thing did nothing to me, so maybe that's a sign that the COVID thing could have happened with me and I never knew it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, check this out. Air Canada. Oh, hold on, there's a rule.
Canada!
There we go.
There you go.
They sent a passenger's cat from Toronto to San Francisco without the passenger and then told him to go get it.
Oh, well, that's horrible.
This isn't very Canadian at all.
No kidding. We've moved your cats to another country.
Yeah. What do you say about this?
Go get them.
Hey, Jeff Sire, you want to defend this, buddy? You want to send me an email defending this one?
Yeah.
He had a bigger problem. His two cats, Mimi and Bubba, got sent to San Francisco without the dude. Zeb told an insider Air Canada that Wait, Insider. Oh, that Air Canada's not the same. It should be a comma there. Zoeb told Insider that Air Canada. No, I don't know. Anyway, Air Canada said under no circumstances would his cats fly without him, but his luggage might. Yet after hours of waiting, he was told the cats had indeed been sent to the U.S. without him. To make it worse, he said Air Canada then suggested to him to get to San Francisco himself or ask someone in the city to collect his cats for him. I said, this
oh,
is...
Oh, no kidding. So yeah. If there's nobody even waiting at the gate, do they just go in like the unaccompanied minor's room and just get locked in there?
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. Your cats are still in their crates. And they've just shit all over themselves and molted because they're so nervous and no one's here to pick them up. I guess that's just where your cats are. That freaking sucks.
Oh, my gosh. That completely sucks.
Yeah. Help the cats. I don't even like cats.
Kids walk out into the terminal waiting, looking for some guy with a a chauffeur outfit on, holding up a sign that says cat.
Yeah, yeah. That's about it. So he did, let's see, close to midnight and more than 15 hours later, after being separated, he was finally reunited with his two cats in Toronto. So they did get him back up somehow. I don't know how that happened. Oh, somebody picked him up and then flew them back.
Good
is what they did.
I would do that for this person. I don't know this person, but I would happily
absolutely
fly up and return his cats to him.
Absolutely. Sure. If you guys ever have a cat problem in Salt Lake or Denver, you let us know. Brian and I got you covered on that.
That's right. And just take me out to the brass rail once you pick me up and we'll be fine.
Take me out to the brass rail. My pets are being treated like throwaway luggage, he says. He says, once I collected my pets, they were visibly tired and feeling sick. Both were sneezing. Oh, man.
Here's the thing. I would think that Air Canada, if it was luggage, they would have routed the luggage back.
Yeah.
Like they would have put it on another flight from San Francisco to Toronto and been just fine.
Well, it says here now Air Canada is no longer allowing pets to be checked into the baggage compartments where he said his cats were placed, according to an update posted on the airline's website. The airline cited, quote, longer than usual airport delays for the new rules that are now in effect until September 12th. So I think they're still in the midst of like the luggage gate and all that problem. People
sure.
still, I know somebody here in Salt Lake who never got his luggage, just never got it. They don't know where it is. He's kicking himself for not having a tag in there, but you shouldn't have to freaking do that.
And no, for sure.
And I don't think they, I mean, he still had to pay for everything. It's not like they refunded him. I know you can get insurance or something, right? Isn't there an insurance thing? Everybody's always
pet insurance?
No, for luggage loss, lost luggage.
Oh, lost luggage insurance? I think you can get that with the card. Some cards offer that with the if you use it to buy your plane ticket. But
oh, so if you do like you have an American Express deal or something, you
yeah
okay.
yeah
that makes sense. It'll do
sorry,
it for
I was
today's
pulling
news.
Up the information for today's Indian in the Middle.
No, it's good.
Distracted.
You got to have it, man. You got to have
responding
it.
Responding over German Swiss parrots and
That's how it goes.
Canadian cats.
Yeah, Canadian cats. That's what today's news is about. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Steven Schleicher will be with us. Yeah, you heard me. He's got stuff to say. Oh, good news, too, by the way. Dan, the tabletop man, will be joining us next Monday. And every month, he'll be here the second Monday of the month to do two things. We're going to kind of beef it up. We're going to do basically an Ask Dan thing in the pharmaceutical world. Right?
Are we really?
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to say things like, why, you know, because we get them all the time. People are like, why? Yeah. Ask Dan how come opiates are worse than or whatever. Like,
yeah,
these kind of things.
I get this weird burning sensation when I pee. What should I do? What should I take?
Yeah. So we're going to do those. So feel free to be sending those in. I'd love to collect them, keep them short.
Right.
And then he'll, at the end of that, there'll always be a quick recommendation for a card game, board game, something at home. So we're just gonna solidify the position a little bit,
perfect.
You know.
Perfect.
I think it'll be fun. Anyway, that's all coming up next week with Dan. Today we got Steven. Stick around after this song that Brian has prepared. What do you have?
I have something right here. It is from a band called Penny Arcane. Arcane with an N. Penny Arcane. They're a alternative rock band based in Essex in the UK. They influenced by artists like Biffy Clyro, Block Party, and Editors, for example. They're working with Dan Hack at Honeywood Studios, and they have a brand new single that is going to be released on August 12th. you're going to get to hear it 11 days early because we love you. Here is the new single from the band Penny Arcane called Take It Away.
I never wanted you to go away.
MySpace, I'm on Friendster, and there's a new network called Facebook, which I think is going to be really influential, so I know how to reach young people.
The Morning Stream. You're soaking in it.
All right, we're back. Hey, who is that again, that song there?
That, again, is the band called Penny Arcane, and the new song, Take It Away, and I mispronounced Biffy Clyro's last name and got corrected by our resident all-caps Irish.
Our resident all-caps Irish.
Our resident all-caps Irish.
Don't be messing with her, yo.
No. Right.
Well done. Now this.
Stephen Schleicher. Stephen Schleicher.
Look who pulled his truck up to the back and started unloading his goods. It's Stephen Schleicher all the way from Major Spoilers and the wonderful website MajorSpoilers.com in Hayes, Kansas. Welcome back, Stephen. Hi.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hello. Hi. You know, one of these days I'm going to dox you entirely. I'm just going to say everything about where you live, your address.
I mean, it's not. I mean, I'm in the phone book, so if anybody can just look it up, it's not like it's hard to find.
What is this phone book you speak of?
I don't know, but we have two competing phone companies in this tiny little town, and every year we get two phone books.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that still thrives? Is it ads or something, or what do you think they're getting out of that?
Yellow pages.
Yeah, that's probably it, right?
I mean, I think I've got to call our AC guy today.
Yeah. And it's not so even
I'm the
not
yellow
even,
pages to find that out.
I'm not even like wanting to hasten its death as a cultural thing to get a phone book. I just don't know how it survives in today's climate. Like, how do you have this interconnected world of phones and devices and internet and information at your fingertips and still need a phone book? I can't get it. I can't figure it out. Like, even detectives don't use them anymore to like try to track people down. So anyway, there's my hot take for the day. Hey, major spoilers. let's talk about some stuff. First, before we get to Paper Girls, which I do want to talk about.
Yeah.
I started ripping through that Good Asian thanks to Steven's recommendation.
Oh, see, what you think?
It's great. It's really good. It's like, I love noir storytelling, you know, anyway, and I love it in comic book form. Always a big fan of that sort of thing. But this is really, really good. And just telling it from a perspective that we just don't hear in comics very often, it's very good.
Yeah. Now, are you reading the trade, which is out,
yes,
or are you reading the single issues?
Because
in the back of this, I don't know if in the trade they have a discussion about who the main character in The Good Asian is based on, a real life person from Hawaii. And in one of the issues, maybe it's the first or second issue, they go in and talk about that person.
Oh,
and his role as an Asian detective in the United States, the first Asian detective in the United States back when there were still rules. And that's kind of the point of this story is in Hawaii, this guy is fine to be a detective because 95% of the population is Asian. But in the mainland, that's not allowed. And so that's what this whole story is about, and him trying to find a missing person, reconnecting with his past and a past love and all these things. It's really good.
Yeah, it's excellent. And I think the art's incredible. Just feels, I mean, the praise it's getting is deserved. It's a very, very good read.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for that, it's Image. That extra stuff might be in the back of this trade. I didn't look, but I'll check.
Yeah.
But it's awesome.
So you guys were talking pre-show about your love of Westerns.
Yeah. Well,
and I've told you before to go get that Supergirl World of Krypton True Grit inspired story.
Yes.
But if you want something that's more Western related, I would suggest Pulp from Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips.
Oh, okay.
It is a story about a guy who writes pulp Westerns and tells the story about this bank robber from the Old West days. But this guy is so broke that he decides that he's going to go rob a bank. And I won't tell you anything other than that, so the he's going to rob a bank in modern day, I want to say 20s or 30s, maybe even earlier than the 20s. It's a good one. I think you'll love it. It's got Western landscapes. It's got your whole Utah Valley thing going there.
Oh, very nice. I was when I was watching 310 again this weekend, 310 to Yuma, the new one. Mostly Utah and Arizona filmed, but man, I just want to just escape into that. I love that stuff so much. This looks great. I'm looking at the cover. This is beautiful.
Yeah.
Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips is the artist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll definitely, I had not heard of this.
It's a single shot comic that they came out with 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I forget. It's about 3 years ago, maybe. But it did win awards. So it's an award winning comic. It's really good. I kind of wish that they had, I'm glad that they released it as a single volume instead of trying to serialize it, because I don't think they had enough material to do that.
Mm.
But as a standalone, let me just read this like you kind of would a dime store novel.
Sure.
It's great.
Oh, man. I'm in then. Okay. I know what I'm reading next then. This looks great. Your recommendations have not let me down ever, I don't think, but especially lately. These have been all really good. Tell me about Paper Girls. Why should people know that name? And if they don't, should they track it down and find out? And why is it a big deal today?
Sure. So Paper Girls is a brand new series that launched on Amazon Prime this past weekend. The interesting thing is that instead of, in the past, Amazon releases things 1 week at a time, they dropped all 8 episodes of the first season for you guys
deal.
To check out at once. So you can binge through it, and each episode's between 30 minutes and an hour. I was able to get through it over the entire weekend, watched a couple episodes on Friday, a couple on Saturday, and then on Sunday. This is the story of four girls who have paper routes. And in 1988, some stuff happens and they find themselves through time travel in 2019 and then again in 1999. And they want to get back home. And it's a very interesting tale of them seeing what their future could be like. It's also a I would say it's very girl positive in that it deals with issues that a lot of young girls, these are all 12-year-old girls, that might be facing as they're growing up. And probably most important for you, Scott, it is written by Brian K. Vaughan, who I think both you and Brian love the Saga series.
Yeah, Saga's awesome.
Yeah, love Saga.
So this is based on his comic book.
His Why the Last Man, and Saga, and a million other comics. Yeah. Brian K. Vaughan never, ever lets me down. He's always good, except for how long it took him to get back to Saga. But
his adaptations, unfortunately, have been hit and miss. But
That's true. I see a girl wearing the Walkman that Greg sent me, the yellow sports Walkman. That's cool.
Yeah, because, again, the story starts in 1988. And so these four girls running around in 1988 stuff and then find themselves in 2019. And
you said time travel. Is it straight up time travel? I heard time loop, which I'm also excited about.
Time travel and time loop are the same thing. I don't want to spoil too much. I mean, the comic book's been out, but there is an element of, are they just trapped in a time loop or can they get out of it? Yeah. Also, a little bit of a spoiler.
And I would say time loop is contained within time travel.
Yes.
Stephen, but the two are not synonymous. Oh no.
Actually, it does involve travel through time. Paper Girls have, if you're into giant mechs fighting each other, there's some giant mechs fighting there's some dinosaurs.
Oh, are there any mechs fighting dinosaurs? Are there dinosaurs fighting mechs or no? Do we not get that?
No, not dinosaurs fighting mechs.
That's a bummer.
Would you recommend this to our wives as well? Or is this something that's like, when your wives are busy watching Bridgerton, watch this.
did your wives watch, what is it, Turning Red, the Disney animated movie?
No. Okay.
So there's a lot of the themes from that movie are in this one as well. So if you're grossed out by a girl getting her period for the first time, don't watch this show.
And if you're grossed out, by the way, if you're grossed out about a girl getting her period the first time, you're lame. Go somewhere else, you weirdo.
I mean, there's a lot of, one of the reviews that I saw from this from a pretty valid source said, the show gets slowed down because there's too much personal inner, conflict in between the girls and talking about the girl stuff. And it's like, oh man, I think you're missing out the point of this. So,
yeah.
Yeah. If anyone uses the word woke around me one more time, I'm gonna put my foot up their butthole for real.
So your characters are a Chinese girl, a Jewish girl, a black girl, and a girl from the poor side of town who has a filthy, filthy gutter mouth. So
sweet.
If you like F-bombs being dropped every third sentence, then this is definitely for you.
Yeah, so far I'm not hearing anything that Tina wouldn't like. Except maybe the mechs.
Yeah, maybe the mechs aren't an interesting. This sounds like something Kim and I would
think,
love.
Honestly, I think if Tina watched this, the mech part, she would actually really probably be cheering and crying at.
Well, Kim and I are going to watch this. This sounds like our jam. Especially the... She loves the sort of coming of age stuff. I do too. It's fun. But you had me at Brian K. Vaughan. So
yeah,
no, exactly. And then it's only 8 episodes, and I believe that I hope they're bringing this back for a second season. If not, you can go pick up the comic book right now. It's 30 issues, so it's a self contained story, Brian. Kind of like mine, perhaps. If you get to the end of the television show, and suddenly you're like, wait. What happens next? There's a comic book out there that will tell you exactly what happens next.
Love it.
It's called Paper Girls, and it's 30 issues. Go read it.
All right. Here's the other thing. I'm definitely going to do that. And that, by the way, is on Comixology Unlimited, if you want to watch it. They tend to do that when they coincide their release of their series. But it's interesting to watch Amazon kind of take the lead on indie comic transitions to television series the way that Marvel and Disney are doing their thing. But if you're looking for indies like The Boys and Invincible, right? That's what I meant to say. This and other stuff, it feels like they got it going on, man.
I would like to see what they're going to do next. And I'm really curious, and I haven't really looked into this, but I'm very curious as to why they decided to release the show all in one go, almost like they didn't know whether they had faith in the show or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because they typically do not drop stuff all at once.
Yeah. Well, I'm also in for the 80s thing. I love the 80s. I want to go back. I loved it. I was these kids. We were these kids.
They don't spend a lot of time in the 80s.
Yeah. Well, that's a bummer. Because
the kids are definitely of the 80s.
Good. Because we are those kids. They are us. Like, I mean, we weren't
Stranger
girls.
Things with girls and time travel.
There you go. Nailed it. All right. Excellent. Also, there is a big question going on. There's a bunch of new phase movies coming out for Marvel. Like, they announced a ton of them. And it's kind of overwhelming how many things are lined up. But nobody seemed to be asking this question, so I'm really glad you brought it up today. Who is directing all of these freaking movies?
Well, we don't know who all of them are, but we do know, for example, Blade is Bassam Tariq is directing that one. That comes out next year.
Yeah.
Julius Ona is directing. That one's already been announced, the Captain America New World Order movie. And then Jake Schreier, who is doing directed Paper Towns, will also be directing the Thunderbolts movie, which ends Phase 5 in 2024. And then when it comes to the big Fantastic Four, while there are a lot of rumors about who may or who may not be showing up as Doctor Doom or any of the other family, the director has been named as John Watts, who was for a little bit of time involved in the Spider-Man movie.
Oh. Yeah, he did. Wait a minute. John Watts. Why is that name so familiar? Maybe it's because of that. What did he do that I know? Hold on. I'm looking this up because it's going to annoy me.
He did.
Oh, I know what it is. He did Spider-Man Homecoming. But the movie that I always think of when I think of him is this movie that I don't think hardly anyone saw. But I love this movie called Cop Car. This amazing thing with Kevin Bacon. Came out in 2015. Kevin Bacon, that guy we love no matter what he's in, Shea Whigham, that guy.
Oh, yes, yeah.
That's such a good movie.
Really?
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
You probably recommended this at some point.
I did. At the time, it kind of got overlooked because, who even knew what the hell this was. But I thought Cop Car was rad. It was really good.
Yeah. Well, anyway. And again, considering that he directed Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
The greatest superhero movie of all time.
Oh.
Maybe he will have a follow-up with Fantastic
Look at Four. You throwing down the gauntlet. I thought
well, you were... Well, I mean, live action.
Into
the Spider-Verse is the greatest. But for live action, Spider-Man Homecoming is definitely...
Yeah, I picture Steven in his Spider-Verse jammies at night.
I wish. If they made fat guy size, a fat guy adult size,
they just do like
I'd definitely be asking those for my birthday.
They do the Kingpin with the tiny little head inside the giant suit, and you wear the fake tiny suit jammies. I'd wear that. Anyway, that's awesome. So, but probably some surprises in here that we'll just get to, right? We'll get around to something.
Somebody asked me today, have you heard that the Punisher is going to be in the Daredevil series? And it's like, well, where'd you hear it? Go and look at the source. It's some Twitter account that has no source back to anything.
Exactly.
And so now people are all giddy over this. It's like, okay, follow the source. Is this a trusted source? Who are they saying they got the information from? And unless it's coming from the studio, it's probably just a rumor.
Right. I mean, I was trying to think the other day if they would actually go as far as to make... I mean, the Punisher show, as currently constituted, was on Netflix, is on Disney Plus.
It's on Disney now, yeah.
Yeah, you can watch that there. So that was a pretty hard-boiled, hardcore thing for Disney Plus standards.
Totally was.
That's why you got to have a PIN number now.
That's right. You do have to have a PIN number now. I was a little surprised they didn't shift all that to Hulu, which they basically own anyway, and they put all their saucy stuff over there. But since they're not, and I can get it over there, I have hopes for getting that Punisher stuff back. Let's go.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if the actor shows back up in a Punisher series or shows back up in the Daredevil series, that's fine. I don't think that there's any problem with that.
Yeah.
But if you're getting too excited about something that has not been announced or confirmed, then, maybe slow down a little bit.
Plus, now,
we
Barenthal.
Got D23, Brian. You're heading back, D23.
Sparky.
Yeah.
Yes.
So maybe then at D23, you'll get that news about Punisher.
Right? It feels like they really, like, shut their wad. They spilled all their candy at Comic-Con. I don't know what they could have left to talk about.
I think they're going to have a lot of Fantastic Four and Phase 5 or 6 news to come out.
Yeah, maybe. Because there are still
a lot more preview stuff.
Sure.
There are a couple, like, to be named movies in the in the phases too that they could release information about. So yeah, I'm hoping. I mean, that's one panel that, regardless of what else is going on at that time, that's one I will be attending. I can skip the Sleeping Beauty sing-along or whatever they've got going on. But that one, that panel, I'm going to be there.
But what if during that panel is when they have the new Kyber Crystals exclusives for D23? What are you going to do then?
Oh, man.
What are you going to do then, Brian?
What other colors could they come out with? Yeah. Orange? Beige?
Look, maybe. The human eye can detect 16 million, so.
Well, that's true.
Or yes. No, is okay.
How about a taupe? Give me my taupe Kyber Crystal, please.
Yeah. Here's the problem with Punisher. Kyber Crystal. If you want Punisher back, don't forget, you have to contract not just John Bernthal, but not one, both of his earlobes. Both need contracts.
That's true. Yeah.
So everyone thinks it's all easy. You want to get Chris
and
Evans
both
or something?
They both need a separate trailer.
Exactly. Too. You sign a deal with Chris Evans, he's in your movie. You sign a deal with John Bernthal, you got to talk to the... And those lobes are off doing other shit. How are you going to get them all in the same room? Oh, man. I don't know how you're going to do it.
That's well, why anyway. You got axed off Walking Dead so quickly is because of those lobes.
Like, no, it was costing the show too much money.
Just could not afford
Big hit or not, you can't afford both. Anyway, so there you go. There's what's happening. It's all very exciting. And all this stuff is being coagulated over at majorspoilers.com. You know, like blood, like clotting. All your news is clotting over there.
Yeah, it is.
Steven, is there anything else going on?
A scabbing pustule of pop culture over at majorspoilers.com. Yeah.
Don't be picking at it, is all I'm saying. Are you you got anything cool going on this week you want to mention for the folks?
Well, I guess the only thing that I do want to mention for people that are not in the news. No, this week there is another series that launches on the Netflix. I believe it's the Netflix. Mm. The Sandman series.
Oh, yeah, that's this Friday.
Yeah.
So I think it's Netflix or is it HBO? I don't
know. It's Netflix, but it's very exciting.
Sandman excited. Coming out August 5th. So go and watch that.
I've got so much excitement around that. I cannot wait.
We were talking about Samaritan. Scott and I were the new Sylvester Stallone. Thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that's not, I guess that's based on a screenplay that was based on a comic that barely came out. Like was some forgotten print kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we know anything else about that?
That is all I know about it. Was I tried to track it down. It's like, well, maybe there was something comic that was going to be worked on, but then it went away. And it looks like a really cool plot. I'm kind of interested.
It does.
The trailer
it
looks
does.
Really cool. It's one of those turn off your brain and just enjoy the action.
I was going to say, because Sylvester Stallone has such an incredible record for comic book adaptations.
Oh, yeah.
I am the law.
He's very good in Guardians Volume 1. I'll give him that.
Volume 2.
Oh, is
and
it
very
2?
Briefly in Guardians Volume 2.
That's true. He barely showed up in there. So we'll give him that one. But everything else.
Yeah, I'm here for Yondu's funeral.
Oh, also, one of the great crimes against humanity is they never gave Carl Urban a second Dread movie. That was so good.
Yeah.
I want to watch Dread now. I want to hang up on both of you, end the stream, and watch Dread.
And go watch Dread.
Well, if you do
good.
Go and watch that, Scott, remember to stay hydrated.
Look at the transition. He's a pro, this Schleicher man that we have on Mondays. All right, well, there goes Schleicher into the wind. And now we do also, except we have to play a mashup, okay? I didn't put it
it's
in here.
The law. It is the law.
It is the law. Abe McConaughey is the title today.
Okay.
It's a BII, which is Ibbit Impressions.
Oh, God.
I don't know why it's BII, though. Brian Ibbit Impressions. That makes sense.
I guess. Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to play it now. This is from Jamie, our TMS mashups guru, and this is what he made.
Oh, my God. I saw your Oingo Boingo bumper sticker on the back. I love Oingo Boingo. Oh, my God.
Is it too early for me to get a fish sandwich, boys?
Brian, I know you didn't want to watch Maid because it was super girly, but I think you'd really like it.
I say, do you have the time? Hold on, let me squirt some milk from my anus.
Totally okay to have Dr. Jim a camera up your saddle smasher and make sure there's no beans in there where they ought not to be.
Brian, I have all this leftover stuff. I don't think I'm going to do any more stained glass this year, so let me put that stuff in a cabinet.
Get on your feet, maggots.
He's Canadian, though. Canadians, they're too nice.
Did they say that? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they just say, oh, hey, if you don't mind, we're going to go run a couple laps, eh?
Oh, hey, maggots, if you could get up. Sorry to wake you up, but if you could get on your feet, eh?
I hope you have a very happy birthday.
Barney, hold on. I'll be right with you. We can go to the Elks Lodge as soon as I put on my onesie.
Hey, Fred, it's a little
notice
tighter.
Notice how it cups my unit.
Brian, looks like you take forever to do this level. Do you want to just play it on an easy mode?
Hey, guys, what's going on? Hey. I'm a kid.
Well, this card has this card.
Hey, guys, I'm Sully. Hey, what's up? My shirt's off.
Oh, we could use this in as a different ingredient in a different product.
We can mix and match these and make four other items for our menu.
Exactly. What if we put steak in a Maxi belt?
I keep that Battlestar Galactagun right above my turlet.
That's right. Right where I do my shit.
Tina's like,
where are all the Melba toast? There's just pretzels and peanuts in here. Those squiggly orange breadsticks.
Hey, you know the thing about prostitutes? Hey. It's the only profession besides burger joint waitress where you lean into a car window to get things going. I don't get no respect.
Brian, you did a great job replacing our light switch with a dimmer, but did you have to break the sink? Brian, I hate it when you do your Tina voice.
He's also Lincoln in a new documentary. Does the voice of Lincoln? I'll have to check that out. I thought Matthew
McConaughey was the voice of Lincoln.
No. The nation's going to be all right.
Oh, imagine, man. These slaves keep getting younger, and I keep staying the same.
Oh, my God.
67 years ago, our father.
That's awesome. Pretty sure we got a little film sack in our TMS there.
We did, yeah.
At the end. That was amazing. Yeah, the Tina voices kills me. Absolutely kills me.
Yeah. Christine Fletcher, by the way, just unsubscribed, and
she's out of here after that.
She's out of here with that. After that mashup, she's done.
Christine, send me an email. Let me know how you're feeling. Let's make sure everything's okay, because that was a lot of that, and she doesn't love it. All right, real quick here, got a couple of new patrons. Perfect day to be talking about these people because it's August 1st.
Yeah, it's August 1st. They're brand new patrons.
That's
on a brand
right.
New month.
Brand new month. Time to join. Get in here. You get an ad-free bonus content episode every day, cool stuff on the weekends, things in the mail, and it's only a monthly for tons of content. Yeah, that's right. Be like Jason L. and Cameron Dix. D-I-X.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to emphasize that cool last name.
You really did. Boy, I bet he's
Cameron
Dix.
It sounds like a private eye or something, you know?
Cameron Dix.
That's right.
Exactly.
Cameron Dix will find out why that dame walked into my life that day. Anyway, Jason L., Cameron Dix, you guys are awesome, and welcome to the fun. If you want to be like them, join up at patreon.com/TMS, details and more at frogpants.com/TMS, and keep those emails flowing, including if you got a couple of questions for Dan and his pharmaceutical expertness, send them to themorningstream@gmail.com. They can also be a recommendation for a board game. That's fine, too.
Yeah.
That's it for us. We're out of here. We need to play song before we go. I guess... programming note, this is like the most normal ass week ever, so shows every day.
TMS Brian, couch potato on Friday.
Oh yeah. Yep, that. And then what else? There was something else I was supposed to mention. Shit,
I don't know.
Can't think of it, so I won't worry about it. Oh, but I will worry about a song, so why don't you play one so I can worry about
that. Yeah, so by the way, I love the fact that Tally just confused Christine Fletcher and Louise Fletcher. She just confused the wife of the voice of TMS and Nurse Ratchet from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So.
Nice. Good combo.
Well done, Tally. All right. How about a request? This one isn't even on the board because it's a personal request. We mentioned earlier that Nichelle Nichols, Uhura, or as some people pronounce it, Uhura, passed away this last weekend.
Yep.
And she's done a bunch of covers, and so I felt like, oh, well, let's definitely play one of her better covers. And no, it's not that horrible Star Trek, that so bad it's good Star Trek themed cover that she did with all the lyrics that Alexander Courage wrote. No, this one is from the same album, her 1970s album called Down to Earth, or I'm sorry, 1980s album called Down to Earth. It's a cover of the Nina Simone classic that was also covered very famously and beautifully by the band Muse. It is Feeling Good. Here is Nichelle Nichols.
Bird flying high, you know how I feel. Sun up in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting by. It's a new dawn and a new day. It's a new life for me. Running free, you know how I feel. Blossoms on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn and a new day. It's a new life for me. Out in the sun, you know what I mean. Butterflies, all heaven fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, I know you know just what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world. When you shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. Freedom is mine, I know how I feel. It's a new dawn and a new day. It's a new life for I feel all right.
Feeling good.
On Thursday,
feeling good.
Everything uptight.
Feeling good.
On Friday,
feeling good.
I feel good.
Feeling good.
And then comes Saturday,
feeling good.
Just like it should.
Feeling good.
And on Sunday,
feeling good.
Yeah, then comes Sunday.
Feeling good.
I talk about Sunday.
Feeling good.
Oh, well,
this show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Look, you can see the blood.
I thought that was your blood.
I thought it was your blood.